On the October 30th edition of WNA's Best Seat in the House, Jed talked about Virginia's 14-7 win over NC State and the impact that has on the team's psyche. Jed wonders if this is a building block for future success. Jed also takes listener calls to get a feel for fan reaction.
Root time! Jed Lee! How many silly nicknames can one sports guy have? Here he is, the mischievous one, Jed Williams, with more of your best seat in the house.
As I said, lots of monikers. I got a new one over the weekend. Somebody came up to me and said, the Jebaroo. I'm like, I don't know who that guy is. The Jebaroo? We'll go by it, though. 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. Cavalier fans, where are you? Come beckoning. I mean, you're there when there's controversy. You're there when there's negativity. But a lot of you didn't jump off the ship when it was sinking earlier on, didn't jump off the bandwagon, so maybe you can thump your chest a little bit and talk about the evolution of this program. How much progress has been made? What's been the most impressive, startling facet or aspect of it for you? And beyond that, my question, I think my thesis statement, Joey and listeners, was I think this team learned how to win. Officially, in a lot of ways, learn what it takes. I think you used a great word, to be gritty when the game is flawed and imperfect. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a bunch of cliches and adages we're throwing out there, but finding a way. That was a finding a way kind of game when it wasn't easy to do so. With five seniors in the rotation, a bunch of kids. Jameel Sewell lit 19 candles on a birthday cake a week ago Thursday. 19.
Right.
It's a little different than what Mike London talks about when you go to the NFL and everybody has their own CPA and pharmacist and an attorney. These guys have never done any of this stuff before. 977-1070. We'll get you registered for those tickets. 1-800-688-9462. Bob on one. Hey, Bob. Welcome.
Hey, Jed. How's it going?
Good to talk to you, man. What's up?
Oh, not much. I was pretty impressed with Saturday's victory.
That sounds kind of lukewarm. All right, give me more.
Well, you know, it's baby steps this year.
Sure.
You know, my hopes were a little higher going into the season, and I was one of those that was extremely critical, especially after the Western Michigan game. But, you know, the kids fortunately didn't, like, you know, listen to it. And, you know, that, for me and others, it was, you know, a plethora of negativity out there.
Hey, but Bob, do we need to give the players more credit for that or the coaching staff some credit for that? Because it was easy for those players who had never done this before, and their first experience was so negative, just to sort of dip their chins and go in a shell, and they didn't do that. Who's most largely responsible for that happening, do you think?
I would say 70% of the players and 30% to the coaching.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
I'm still a little skeptical about some of the offensive play calls from time to time, to be candid, but
I don't know about you. I had some problems with the offensive play call sequencing last week. I thought the game plan overall, Bob, was pretty sound. Dominate the line of scrimmage, run the ball so that NC State can't do that with their backs. And Bob, Virginia enjoyed its most success running the ball with Jason Snelling, and they get the ball at their own 30 and run it down to about NC State's 35, and then suddenly they'd start passing on first and second down and sort of change their leopard spots. And I thought that's where the sequencing got a little inconsistent and led to some missed opportunities.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen, and I don't know that I saw, but maybe one play action pass.
Yeah, and isn't this going to be an interesting question going into the offseason? Joey and I were talking about this a few minutes ago. Sewell's your guy next year. He's shown you little samples of just how talented he can be in all facets, whether it's down the field throws, bootlegs, design runs, whatever. Is this Virginia offensive staff, which is predicated so much on running the ball, power and authority, going to be willing to fully explore Jameel Sewell's talents and how to utilize that, even if that means getting away from the running game a little bit next year?
Well, I'm sure somebody could find George Wells' playbook when Sean Moore was there, because I do see a lot of Sean Moore in Sewell.
Yeah, I think there's some Aaron Brooks and a lot of Sean Moore.
And, yeah, but I would equate Sewell closer to Sean than Aaron.
Okay.
I think he's faster. Sean really couldn't run those option plays. Sean could run those option plays that Aaron really couldn't run. You know, he was just a little too tall, a little too lanky. Sean I just thought was a better runner.
And I'll give Sewell this. Early in his career, he's not making the same mistakes that Aaron Brooks made as an inconsistent quarterback early in his career.
No, and I will give this to the coaching staff. You know, they made the decision and they stuck with it. I'm sure there's a guy named Martinez out there wishing
who would that be?
The decision had been made for him.
Anthony Martinez, pick up the white courtesy phone.
You know, yeah. That South Carolina game, we never heard from him again.
Let's not revisit that one, please. Thank you, Bob. All right, Bob, we'll talk to you. Appreciate the phone call.
Have a great evening.
Thanks, buddy. That's Bob on line one. Opens a phone line for you to get you registered for those ticket packages. We'll give them away at 655-977-1070. Nelson with us on line two, good friend of the show. Hey, Nelson.
Hi. Well, I still have to wonder about the future of Virginia football under Al Groh, because I think in his 6 years he's lost at least five games every year, except for 1 year he lost four. And so I just have to wonder about the future of it, you know, if in his good years he still lost five games.
Well, that's a question Mancini and I were tossing around. Is there going to be lofty expectations for this team and this program next year? They're going to be expected and probably need to win a minimum of eight games. And all the pieces seem to be in place for that to be a possibility. Now, at the same time, the 2004 team was Groh's most talented team and didn't live up to expectations. So it's why we can't get too far ahead of ourselves right now. The bigger question, Nelson, is why are you rebuilding in year six? But you can only ask that question for so long. And then at some point, you just, even if it's frustrating, even if it's maddening, you have to go, you know what? To borrow a Grohism, it is what it is. We don't like it, but it is what it is. Deal with the hand we're dealt, and Virginia's dealing with that pretty well the last month.
Okay.
There you go. Thanks, Nelson. That's Nelson with us on line two. Opens a line for you at 977-1070. You can ask the, why are we rebuilding, and pout forever.
We're beyond that now.
Yeah, we beat that horse into the ground. That was the first month of the season. Learning how to win. I thought Virginia did that in a lot of ways the other day. Again, I mean, could they have played better? Yeah. Could they play better against North Carolina? Yeah, but guess what? This team's never going to play the perfect game this year. It's a flawed team, and thus it's going to be an imperfect game. Mm-hmm. So it's finding ways to capitalize on that. I thought Virginia, and I made this point in the opening segment, and I hope this doesn't come across like, what's he talking about? Virginia combined playing to win with playing not to lose beautifully. And I know most of you out there thinking, you never want to play not to lose. That's conservative. Except if the other guy is stupid, then let the other guy go out and be a bumbling bonehead. Chuck Amato will screw it up 101 out of 100 times. And he screwed it up with his big NC State high school varsity letter jacket on the other day. They couldn't get the ball snapped. They had terrible play calling down in the red zone. They made no adjustments with their running game. I mean, they got two quick athletic running backs, and they're just trying to pound it up in there and not run laterally against Virginia's slowish linebackers. There were so many flaws and lack of adjustments in the NC State game plan. You just knew. And that's why Groh kept punting on those missed opportunities at the 35 and 40 yard lines, because eventually NC State's going to go for broke, go for the gusto, like they did on 4th-and-1 at their own 18 with 12 minutes left in the fourth, and they're going to screw it up. And they screwed it up. And so there's an element of playing not to lose, because NC State's going to do it for you, while at the same time maintaining your aggressive edge. And maybe some people look at the box score, Mancini, and go, well, 37 rushes, 22 passes, that doesn't equate with aggressive offense. Yeah, it does. Virginia's best when it's aggressively pounding the ball to set up the pass. And that's what they did. If this team is throwing the ball 37 times and running 22, I don't want to see the final score, because you know what it's going to look like? East Carolina.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Especially Virginia, but most teams are most successful when they're running the ball and having success running the ball, just because it opens up all sorts of avenues over the field
to
do things for Jameel Sewell. For NC State on the offensive and Virginia on the defensive side, the thing that stood out to me was that NC State with these two big running backs you kept talking about last week, one rushing first down.
One. 70 net yards. Snelling had more than the combination combined.
Which, I mean, one rushing first down is not where you want to be.
And several big gainers negated by holding calls and false start penalties and all that stuff. Back to learning how to win. We'll look at the game, and I think we'll look at the final drive as sort of the microcosm within the bigger deal. I think we're going to look back at that drive in a year and go, it all came together, and they grew up on that drive. 9 plays and 80 yards. The sequencing was better. But beyond that, that's when Jameel Sewell probably put his foot on the throat or his hand on the clutch and said, this is my team and this is my huddle, and really stamped his place. He's played really well the last 2 or 3 weeks, but that's when he took command of the huddle and I think made it his football team. Sewell had struggled in that game. They had struggled on third down conversions. They'd been very sporadic offensively. And lots of times a young quarterback is scarred by that and can't just come back out there and forget about it and go, hey, I'm just going to, you know, put this thing back together and be just fine. And that's exactly what he did. I thought maybe the biggest play of the game was an incomplete pass that netted no yards for the University of Virginia. Starting at the 20, beginning that final drive, all-out zero blitz by NC State, Sewell easily could have been sacked probably two or three different times. It would have been second and 22 or 25, and he finds a way to get that ball out of bounds and throw the incompletion. And then that sets up on the next play, probably the second biggest play of the game, which was a second and 10, and they throw to Fontel Mines, who's like a tight end in a wide receiver's body, who's never
suddenly
been known for yards after the catch. And somehow he turns a 6-yard gain into a 12-yard gain, moves the sticks, and suddenly, rather than thinking, as you talked about, rather than thinking in terms of, oh boy, we're punting it back, and the snowball's beginning to slide down the hill here, you're thinking in terms of forward march, 32-yard line, new set of downs, and Sewell will not throw an incompletion the rest of the way.
Well, I mean, I was amazed. When I saw that first, you know, the way NC State got at Sewell in that first play, I was thinking to myself, oh no. We're going to punt it back to NC State with 2 minutes left on the clock. They're going to come back and kick a chip shot field goal, much like the one that they missed earlier in the game to win this game.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, the thing about, you know, to go back to the punting for a little bit, I mean, I've heard from multiple people.
The most important matchup in the game?
From a lot of people that, you know, NC State, much like Maryland, had never proven that they could drive the ball. So you keep punting it back, you keep punting it back. But when Algrove didn't go for it on that fourth and two or so.
Sure. Yeah.
Late in the game.
Right.
I was frustrated. I was. But it worked this time because Virginia did not give up the big plays that they had in the Maryland game.
Exactly.
They played smart. They played not to lose. They weren't throwing interceptions. They were going back for touchdowns.
Right.
They weren't, you know, muffing punts. They weren't turning the ball over.
They were playing aggressive enough to control field position, aggressive and well enough defensively to not give up big plays. And so if you're doing all that stuff, don't screw it up for yourselves. I mean, didn't we say that on Friday? One of the keys was make NC State grind and then be opportunistic when the mistakes come. Because if they're forced to grind, they'll put the ball on the carpet and they'll make the blunders. And I'm sorry. 7 years there with NFL talent, and you can't even get the ball snapped. NC State is a fraud to me. I'm sorry. They're just... My hottest seat was the 69 Corvette with the heater right up to my fanny. I mean, it's the same stuff year in and year out. And if I'm an NC State fan, forget a Virginia fan, if I'm an NC State fan, talk about being maddened by this whole thing. I'm just furious because every year it's self-inflicted damage. It's penalties and turnovers and all that bogus baloney stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to break. 977-1070. More on learning how to win coming up. More on the final drive and some play calling stuff as well. Plus the game blog. What was Amato doing with that jacket? What was that jacket? And are we seeing a softer, gooey nougat center to Al Groh? Turning a new leaf with the head man. And your calls at 977-1070. Stay with us.